about us possibly having a mutual admiration society. We know how to handle the kind, gracious words that are given out to us. When Jack brags on my pastor and Bill brags on me and I on him and we on you, David, what we're doing is we're exhorting one another unto love and good works. What we are doing is we're confirming one another. What we are doing is we are saying, I am with you. Because see, what y'all don't realize, or maybe you have forgotten, it ain't like this every week. It's not like this every week. We'll hit church after church after church where they wouldn't pour water in your ear if your brain was on fire. Won't be nice to you. Jump on you when you get through preaching. Hand you a check with those awful words, I wish it were more. That's the worst thing in the world. Well, the second worst thing an evangelist can hear. Worst thing he hears is the checks in the mail. But every now and then, we'll hit an oasis, like when I go to Faith in McRae, my friend Bill Jones back there. That always does something for me. Have they had you over there? Well, won't you listen? By the way, you look so nice in that suit. Folks, let me tell you, that's the first time ever in my life I saw him with a full suit on. Now, he wears breeches, but they never do match the coat. I mean, he wears sport coats, and all of them are way out of style, look terrible. I mean, he looks like a sack full of doorknobs anyway. And there ain't no two knobs the same size. I'm not scared of him because he can't hear a word I'm saying. No, let me get serious now. In all seriousness, doesn't he look cute? Martha, did you give him a little sugar when he put that suit on? Pucker up, honey. Bill, you do look nice, no joke. Now, you overstated it, though, when you said you look nicer than I do. I like it. Now, listen to me. Now, let me be real serious. We need each other. I came here in great need. And my pastor has ministered to me. And my friends have ministered to me. And it's been a blessing to us. And it ain't like this everywhere we go. Most of the time we preach in spite of the music. We have to overcome it. Most of the time I have to get beyond the fear of the pastor. Very seldom do I hear the kind, encouraging words that these guys give me and that you folks extend to me. And don't you worry about it. Papa Sam knows how to deal with it. It doesn't go to my head. It goes to my heart. I know how to deal with it. So don't fret about it. I just love you, and I thank God for the privilege of being here. Did you realize I'm standing up before you right now to preach to you from this pulpit number 145 times? 145 times. I didn't know I had that many sermons. And some of you don't know it yet, do you? All right, okay. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians. Please accept my sincerest gratitude and appreciation for the privilege of being back here and to be with Wayne and Beth, their girls, and the staff, and all of you folks, and this incredible choir and orchestra. It's just wonderful. Thank you. And to run under the wagon with my buddies again, it's a great joy. I want to talk to you about tonight about being shaken and troubled. Because, brother, we are in a day where people are troubled. And we're living in a day where things are being shaken. Are y'all familiar with the word paradigm? Do you know what that doesn't mean two dimes now. P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M. Do you know what the word paradigm means? It's an old word, but it's had a recent resurrection. Really what it amounts to, though there are those who describe it in different ways, but really all in the world of paradigm is the way, the system by which something is done and then interpreted after it has been done. Philosophically, that's what the word means. And I have never in my life, nor have I ever read about, historically or otherwise, such a radical transposition of paradigm as we have seen in the last 10 years. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. Bill Sturm spoke prophetically tonight, said what needs to be said, and somebody that's a home run hitter, somebody with clout, had better start saying that and saying it with alarm in their heart before our entire Southern Baptist Convention, because we are seeing a division and a choosing up of sides. That's what's happening, because things are shaking. And the men that we really believe had a conservative bend don't have enough foundation to keep the bend from breaking.
That's right.
And that's what's happening to us. And things are being shaken, and things are really being troublesome to us. Well, I won't talk to my church. Those of you that are visitors, all you other preachers and everything, I hope that it'll relate to you. But I want to talk to Morningside Baptist Church about being troubled and shaken. And Paul, in his writing to Thessalonica, he realized that they were troubled and that they were shaken up. He realized that they were shaken and troubled over what he had said about the end of the age and about the second coming of Christ, but also about the essence of the elements in relationship to the end of the world, what all is happening. And Paul didn't want them to be shaken and troubled. So listen to what he said to them. I'm in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Listen now. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now that statement is not confined to the second coming of Christ, the imminency of it, or the calendar activity of it. It is a consummate comment about the fact that, yes, you need to be aware that Jesus is coming. Yes, you need to keep that uppermost in your mind at all times. But you are to occupy until he comes. And you are not to let the going-ons, the activities, trouble you or shake you up to the point that you lose your confidence in the eternal victory that Jesus Christ is going to maintain when he comes again. Now notice what he said. I don't want you to be troubled in spirit. I don't want you to be troubled in letter. And I do not want you to be troubled by word. Now, what does that mean? If you haven't discovered it in your biblical pursuits yet, there is very little verbal synonym in the Word of God. Hardly anything is put there just to be synonymic. There's a reason for it. I mean, God is not in the habit of trying to say something two or three times so you'll understand it. He just has to say it once because he has an interpreter who will make you understand it if you want to understand it. And the only reason you don't understand the Word of God is because you're not studying it, you're not hiding it in your heart, and you're not depending upon the divine teacher to reveal it to you and let you understand what he's really saying. And so Paul, when he was writing this letter, and even though I know that it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, I still believe Paul knew what he was talking about. He said, I don't want your mind to be bugged. I do not want you to be shaken or troubled, either in spirit. I don't want you to be shaken in word. I don't want you to be shaken in letter. Now, what's he talking about? What does all of that mean? Is that just a casual reference to the mode and the measure of communication? Or is he putting his hand firmly on a major problem and a major cause of trouble and being shaken? I believe that's what he's doing. I believe he's letting us know that the three avenues by which, through which, we as a church have trouble and get shaken or all shook up because of that trouble is through those three media. Now, let me talk to you about that. with the understanding now that almost every church I know anything about has been in a fight, they are in a fight, or they're choosing up sides, getting ready to have one. Almost every preacher friend I know has been run off from at least one church or survived an attempt to run him off. Every Christian I've ever known in my life who is committed and dedicated to God has suffered persecution. It is not normal for a committed Christian to live in resplendent, intrinsic peace, not even in their mind. But if you are dedicated to God, I will tell you it is a constant battle to maintain your equilibrium. It is a constant battle to retain your focus. It is a constant battle to not get down. It is a constant battle to remember that you're on the winning team. And the last chapter of the book tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's easy to get troubled in your mind. It is easy to get shaken. And churches are filled with trouble. And churches are constantly being shaken in their mind, worried and upset. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to take care of that? What's going on here? Well, let me tell you why. Everybody in the church is not for the church. And everybody carrying the card and everybody wearing the garment do not have any internal understanding of what is going on. There is a vast difference from the spiritual body of Christ, from the organic body of Christ. The easiest thing in this world to join is a Baptist church. And you can stay member of it easier than any organization in town. If the average Baptist tried to treat the Lions Club or the Kiwanis Club or the local garden club, if the average Baptist tried to treat that organization the way they treat the church that they are a member of, I'll flat guarantee you they would no longer be a member of that organization. Now what's happened? The devil has done exactly what our Lord said he would do. He said, our Lord did, that there would be the wheat growing, but in that would come the tares, and they would grow together. Now, anybody that knows anything about agriculture, they understand that the tares will siphon off the strength of the wheat. In Hall County, where I live, I am amazed. We love to drive through the mountains. And if we've got 3 or 4 hours, we'll load as many of the family that can go into my Suburban. And we'll just drive through the county and on up into Towns County and around in Union County, everywhere. And I am amazed at the beauty of the gardens. I've never seen gardens like they have up there. And I grew up in South Arkansas where you had to grow anything, you had nothing to eat. But I'm telling you, they are well manicured. And you'll see a garden twice the size of this auditorium, all kinds of vegetable growing, and there is not a piece of grass growing anywhere. It is well manicured and taken care of. You know why? Because for every blade of grass that you allow to be in the garden, you're going to have that much more difficulty of getting proper nutrition to the garden that you are trying to grow. Now that's what's going on in the Church of the Living God. Many of the people, now this is startling to folks, and they really don't want to believe it. They want to say, oh, now that's bound to be an overstatement, but it's not an overstatement. The majority of the people that go to church on Sunday morning do not have the mind of Christ. The majority of the people that gather on Sunday are not interested in the things of God. Now there's all kind of ways to understand that. For one thing, just let me point out to you about us, about Marvelous Morningside. That's pretty pitiful. We have to have 2 services on Sunday morning to get the people in the building, and here it is Tuesday night with the best singing in the world and the most unique preacher that's ever stepped behind a pulpit preaching, and we can't fill up this auditorium one time. Now, what's the problem? Our church filled up Sunday morning with people that do not have the mind of Christ. They mind the things of this world. And I'll flat out guarantee you, these are they, with a few exceptions, that are always agitating, always holding back, always creating problems. And every time you do anything for the cause of Christ, you have to drag that crowd along with you, and it'll shake you. It'll trouble you. Now, God tells us how to avoid that, and I want to share it with you tonight. If we are going, now listen carefully, if we're going to go on for God, and if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have got to start examining these folks and examining the aspect of their contribution that troubles and shakes us in our service for God. You know, it's amazing to me. People know we're sinners saved by grace. I mean, you know from your own experience, unless you're a liar, you're just like Bill Stern. Now, you may not be able to eat 12 apple fritters, but I'll flat guarantee you you're weak in the flesh. I'll guarantee you there are areas of your life that you're just like that. And yet, when something, are y'all listening?
Yes.
Not do like this one after you listen. I want to know you're listening. All right. Then why is it that when somebody acts up and somebody messes up and somebody does something wrong in the church, why does it create such consternation? Why does it divide the fellowship? Now, let me tell you something. In the average church today, the preacher or a staff member or a prominent deacon can have an unquestioned affair with another woman, and there will be people in the church who are in favor of the fellow that committed the sin or the woman that committed the sin. I think I know why. I think because they've been put there to trouble and shake the people of God. And I'll tell you, it's high time that the church of the living God looked firmly at the banner that's been raised by the Word of God, the standard by which we are supposed to live, and everybody just make up their mind, that's the way we are going to live and conduct ourselves. And anybody that doesn't want to do that can go somewhere else, but you're not going to shake and trouble us anymore. Now, let's look at this. Paul said, I don't want to shake you or trouble you by spirit, by my spirit. So I'm saying to you that whatever one of us need to do is examine the spirit of one another. Just examine the spirit of one another. You see what he's talking about there? He's talking about their involvement. Your spirit is your involvement, how you participate. To what degree you give yourself, how much of your energy you allow to be made available. Now, you can't hide the spirit of an individual. Now, I'm telling you, when I was a pastor, now Wayne will tell you, my wife will tell you that my pastor is correct. There may not be another human alive more naive than I am. And there may not be another person alive that is just not willing to see and know anything bad about anybody and just let it be. I want to get rid of that. I want to change that. But when I was a pastor, as hard as I tried to not think anything ugly about anybody and give everybody another chance, it didn't take me very long pastoring somebody until I was able to discern their spirit and to know what kind of a spirit they had. Now, beloved, there are people in the church that have a spirit of contention. There are people in a church that have a spirit of criticism. There are people in the church who have a spirit of difficulty. There are people in the church who are not even interested in what's going on in the church unless it is something negative and ugly. Now, there's not a thing in this world wrong with you being the kind of a Christian in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You make yourself aware of what kind of spirit possesses somebody else in the church. Paul said, I don't want to trouble you, and I don't want to shake you, and I don't want to do it by spirit. Now that gives us the allowance, and that gives us the opportunity, and it lays upon us the obligation to not be deceived by the spirit of a church member. Just because they're a member of this church, it does not give them the right to have the kind of a spirit that is not like the spirit of Christ. Now, Christ wasn't contentious. Christ wasn't ugly spirited. Christ wasn't critical. Christ didn't get easily offended. Jesus did not retaliate. The Word of God said that when he was reviled, he reviled not. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons we can't focus more energy on the work of the living God in our churches across America is we're expending most of it fussing with one another. Now, God has got to draw us together here at Morningside like never before, because he's given us wonderful buildings. Things are falling in line. I've been coming here all of these years, and I've watched this development, and I've seen the genius of our pastor leading us to get us to be the kind of a church we are now, stronger than a mare's breath. And I thank God for that. But we got to stay that way. But we're not going to stay that way if he gets shook up all the time. I mean, what are you going to do when some elder falls morally? What are you going to do when the best Bible teacher in the church gets all bent out of shape and starts gossiping about the pastor? What are you going to do when another staff member falls morally? You say, oh, Brother Sam, don't talk. Well, it may happen. And it may be the pastor. It may be one of the evangelists. And you might say what we said today about one dear friend of ours. I'm telling you, the man that I least suspected ever would abandon the work and fall into immorality served as my pastor for 6 years, and I never believed he'd have done it, just like I'd never believe you will, but you might. Now, Paul said, now Christ is coming. And I've told you all the things that's going to go on in the interim. Well, don't let it shake you up. Do not receive the spirit of anything negative or anything threatening or anything disruptive. Just don't let it cause you to have that kind of a spirit. You understand what I'm getting at? You just keep walking on, and you just keep on being faithful to God, and you don't let it diminish your commitment, and you don't let it take away from your personal joy, regardless what you see going on. You know what I'm faced with? I'm faced with the very real possibility that there's only going to be a few places in America that I want to go preach. Huh? Well, yeah. While they're getting to where they dance in the church, you say, well, that's no, that's not the Methodist, that's Baptist. They're getting to where they have rock concerts in the church houses. They're coming to church looking like streetwalkers. I can't hardly stand it. And I'm telling you, I have to stay, and I've renewed my vow to stay in the fight. I've renewed that this week. But I am telling you, there are times that I want to just throw in the towel the way the women look when they come to the house of God. I just want to say, what is the use? I've given my life to something that's going down the tube. Well, I'm going to tell you what the use is. Jesus is coming one of these days. That's the use. That's the reason why. Jesus Christ is coming one of these days. And we do not want to allow what is developing in the interim to cause us to be troubled or shaken. We need to be more steadfast today than we've ever been in all of our life. Preachers need to be more convinced about what they are preaching and the convictions that they have. And you've got to be stronger than you've ever been in your life. But you can't be strong when you're shaken and when you're troubled about what's going on. He said, I don't want you to be troubled by spirit. So examine the spirit of others. That has to do with their involvement. But now listen. He also says, I don't want you to be troubled or shaken in word. Now what's he talking about? What is he talking about? Word. He is talking about your influence. He knew he influenced those people. And your words influence. When you say things, it brings about an influence. When Bill Sturm walks around up here and talks, it brings an influence. I have influences in my life from 50 plus years ago from Dr. T.L. Harris, who preached to me when I was a boy. Paul said, now look, I don't want you to be shaken or troubled by my words or by anybody else's word. Now, beloved, if what people say about the Bible has more impact upon our reality than what the Bible says, we have gotten completely out of line and we've gotten completely away from the purpose of God. You know what these people do who are in the church, who cause us to be shaken and cause us to be troubled? They repeat hearsay and innuendo and accusation with the have you heard concept. Now, I'm telling you, it is easy to get involved in that kind of conversation and discussion. But every one of us better understand something. The Bible. Now, listen to the Bible. You remember the Bible, don't you? Listen to what the Bible says. Let every word that proceeds out of your mouth minister grace to the hearer. Now, you have influence. I have influence. We all have influence. And we cannot afford to let our guard down, because if we say the wrong thing at the wrong time, it will trouble and shake the people of God. And that is not conducive to the purpose of God. And Paul said, I don't want you to be shaken or troubled in your mind. I don't want you to worry about things, especially about what folks are saying. See, that's their influence. Well, listen to me now. Why did he put these three things together? I told you that the spirit of the people has to do with their involvement. Well, what does that bring about except influence? And people will get involved in the activities of the church, and you will have more confidence in pastor, staff, elders, and other leaders than you have the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ the Lord. And the influence of people will have more of a bearing on you than the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You think that's not true? The general attitude of preachers under 40 is to find a pastor that's got it going and is making the church grow and do everything that he does. And you talk about a paradigm shift. I've got news for you. Men all over America with panic are running to every kind of conference, listening to every kind of tape, wanting to know the latest thing that's coming down the pike, and they're going back to their churches trying to do what somebody did in some other town, because there it worked for them. And they just don't even consult with God. You say, well, how do you know they don't? Because so much of what they're doing is not scriptural.
That's right.
Now, you're not going to make me believe that God approves of a Baptist church allowing tongue talking in the church house. Slaying in the spirit in the church house. Immodest apparel in the church house. Worldly secular rock music in the church house. Don't you tell me that it's all right with God for our pastors to be going to movies and our children of our deacons and elders and pastor and staff going to dances and doing the things that the unregenerate people do. You know why they do it? Because the words that have been coming out of leaders has troubled and shaken the people of God. Almost everywhere I go, somebody who knows prominent preachers will tell me about the lack of conviction of those prominent preachers. Now, just in case you think I'm just using that as kind of to scotch my considerations, since I've been here, somebody has told me of the most prominent preacher presently in the Southern Baptist Convention who is destined to be president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and there is unbelievable compromise in his life. And because of the compromise and the lack of taking a stand for what is morally and ethically correct, he's having all kinds of trouble. And nobody seems to care. That bugs me. When I go preach in a church, and I preach something like I'm preaching now, and a 75-year-old woman comes up to me after church, and she looks at me and her chin starts to tremble. And she'll say, "Preacher, don't quit condemning that sin." She said, "I've gotten to where I go out the back door of the church because I've parked my car around back because I don't want to go out of the front door and watch all the teenagers jumping in the cars, turning their rock music on, and getting all cuddled up and funneling one another on the parking lot of the church house." Yeah, we're troubled, folks. We are troubled. I'm looking high and low for a prophet who will stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and condemn it. I'm looking high and low for a church who will say, no, you can't be a member of this church and participate in that. I'm looking for youth directors. I'm looking for music men who are not enamored by secularism, inclusivism. I am looking for men who are deliberately making an effort to come out from among them and be separate. Morningside must do it. And what you've got to be aware of is there are people going to get involved in our work whose spirit is wrong, and they're going to influence what we're doing by their words. Don't let it shake you. Don't let it trouble you. Let's trouble them. Amen? Last thing I want to tell you. Paul not only said that we are to examine the spirit and the word of others because of their involvement and their influence, but what did he mean when he said, "I don't want to shake you or trouble you by letter"? Is that just talking about he wrote a letter to them? No, it is that, but it's more than that. In that letter was instruction. Now listen to me. The spirit of people in the church reveals their involvement. The word of the people in the church reveals their influence. But listen, the letter carries with it the idea of the instruction that people are putting out. And I cannot believe what I am hearing men and women say as if they got it from God. I'm hearing an endorsement on ethical things, moral things, sociological things, economical things that in my lifetime wasn't even argumentative. Listen, one of the things that is the most glaring revelation of the reality of what I'm saying is the Pentecostal movement. There was a day when Pentecost people refused to look like worldly people. Their women would not wear makeup. If they wore any at all, it was very little. They covered themselves from their gizzard to their toenails. And I'm telling you, the men were the heads of the house, not the women. And the men were devoted to their family, and they brought their wife and children to church, all of them holding hands together, and they sat together. I'm telling you, the most glaring example of compromise and worldliness is what I see in the neo-Pentecostal movement of this day right now. Most of them on television look like street-walking hussies. And the men want all their ability. The worst they know how to do is to take hands off and say, "Oh, no, I'm not telling you nothing. I'm not going to tell you, well, every man's a priest unto himself." Everybody's got a right to their own opinion. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to think and how to believe. I'm telling you there had better come a day that men of God will take the word of God and discover what it says, look their wife and kid right straight in the eye, and walk into the onslaught of the enemy with a set of instructions where you expect people to live like the Bible says to live. And if that doesn't happen, the shaking and the troubling is going to be worse than we ever thought. You'd be amazed what folks believe. I had a fellow join my church in Oklahoma City. And I mean to tell you, for 2 years, he and his wife and two children were the epitome of commitment, courtesy, love, and kindness until he got to where he was a teacher of a Sunday school class. And she was one of the most respected choir members that we had. And the children were leaders among the teenagers. And then I began to hear. I began to hear what his words were. I began to hear about his spirit, the spirit of criticism. Well, Papa Sam is just too strong. He's just too strict. He's a legalist. There's not anything wrong with having a little wine with a meal. I began to hear stuff like that. I began to hear some of the involvement that he had going on around him. I began to hear him telling people in his Sunday school class, listen, I can get a half a dozen of y'all and go out under a tree in my backyard and have the Lord's Supper, and it'd be as much an ordinance as it is when this church has it. So I called him in. I said, now, Gaylord, tell me about what you believe about these things. Well, what are you talking about? I said, don't start that lying stuff with me. I said, I'm going to tell you before we ever start talking so you won't try to be nice to me. You're finished in this church. You can stay and you can go to church here, but you won't even lead in silent prayer. You don't have the authority to do that. Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I had the rule over him. And I'm ruling him right out. And so when I took his facade away, he turned loose and began to try to tell me how wrong I am on my ecclesiology, my eschatology, everything. And I'm telling you, everybody in the office heard it. We were not yelling at each other. He was at me, but I not at him. I don't have to yell. What I say is loud because it's right. And when he was getting ready to leave, I said, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, y'all listen, this is the key. This is the key. Listen to it. I said, Gaylord, is there a church anywhere in town like what you believe? And he said, no. I said, isn't that weird? God has left himself without a witness. He lied to us. He said he wouldn't do that. And it stunned him when he realized what he had said. So he just started a church in his house. Two or three idiots like him come over there. And they have what they claim to be church, and it's not anywhere close to it. Why? Because they're trying to shake up the people of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to want to believe. There is a school in St. Louis designed to develop church people to move all over the nation, infiltrate churches, and shake them and trouble them. Red Berry was pastor in Montana, and somebody came out there and joined his church and got saved and then told him about the fact that they had a diploma from that institution on how to tear up churches. Did you know about that? I've run into it three or four different times. I've known for a fact that every witch's coven that is in existence today has one of the primary purposes of teaching their people how to fend off Christianity and how to create confusion in the life of Christian people. And beloved, don't you ever get the idea that just because somebody's a soloist out of this choir or is a staff member in this church, don't you ever get the idea that they may not be an individual that has been sent to shake and trouble the people of God. It could very well happen. God bless you, Pastor.